This is Ham College, episode 124, for May 2nd, 2025. Ham College is brought to you by ICOM, combining cutting-edge technology, unmatched reliability, and user-friendly design. ICOM's amateur radios are the gold standard for ham radio enthusiasts. Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Ham College. I'm Professor Thomas.
And I'm Dean Martin.
And it's great to be back with you again. We've got, we've got an interesting show tonight, as usual. But what did we talk about last time?
Well, let me think about that. I don't remember. I think it might have been, oh, it's coming to me now. Maybe it was something about radio wave characteristics, how radio signals travel. Fading, multipath polarization, wavelength versus absorption, and antenna orientation. Just to name a few.
Yeah, we've got a little more radio signal information tonight. It's going to be electromagnetic wave properties, wavelength versus frequency, nature and velocity of electromagnetic waves, relationship of wavelength and frequency, and electromagnetic spectrum definitions like UHF, VHF, and HF.
Oh, cool.
So those two kind of go hand in hand.
Might learn something tonight. Might have a buzzer, because some of that stuff I haven't really thought about some of it. Some of it I know, but I'm sure some of it.
Yeah, you know all of this.
Think so?
I think you, yeah.
We'll see.
I don't think there will be more than one buzzer tonight.
That's one too many.
Well, I know, but keep it interesting. Yeah. Hamvention is coming up in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I've got my real ID, and I'll be ready to go.
Yeah, well, I've got my real ID, but I'm not ready to go. Well, I ain't going to be able to make it this year again.
Yeah, I hope to run into some viewers there and some friends, which are, you know, one and the same.
Oh, yeah. I hope to retire before Hamvention next year, so I'll probably go then for sure. At least I think so, if something comes up.
And you're going to Huntsville Hamfest this year?
Yeah, I'm going to Huntsville for sure.
Yeah, I'll be there, or plan to be there anyway.
I'll be there on Saturday. I'm not sure if I'll be there for Sunday or not. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. That's a good one as well.
Oh, yeah, it's good. Right, nice.
But a Hamvention is like, you know, you got to go at least once.
Yeah, I've probably been there six, eight, ten times probably. I don't know how many, but a lot.
I don't know how many I've been either, but, yeah, a number of times. We used to have history lessons on here.
We did.
And we're going to repeat one tonight, plus we got a little splaining to do.
Who says history doesn't repeat itself? That's not true.
So let's take a look now at ham radio history.
We need one of those, what do they call it, a stinger? Ham history or whatever.
Yep.
I don't know. We're going to have to come up with something cool for that. All right. So today we're going to talk about radio waves. That's pretty much the foundation for everything ham radio. So without that, we may as well pick up the telephone. Not your cell phone either.
Yeah, true.
By definition, radio waves are electromagnetic radiation having a wavelength between about 0.5 centimeters and 30,000 meters used for the broadcasting of radio and television signals. Radio waves were first predicted by physicist James Clerk Maxwell. Maxwell noticed wave-like properties of light as well as in electricity and in magnetism. He proposed equations that describe light waves and radio waves as waves by electromagnetism that travel in space. These waves are radiated by a charged particle as it undergoes acceleration. In 1887, Heinrich Hertz created an experiment by generating radio waves in his laboratory. Hertzian waves are used to communicate and transfer information today. Frequencies are measured in hertz, megahertz, kilohertz, gigahertz, etc. Radio waves travel at a speed of light. When they pass through an object, they are slowed down. The amount they're slowed down depends on the density of that object. I'm sure you've heard of the wavelength. That's the distance from one peak of the wave to the next peak. The wavelength will be different based on frequency of the wave, higher frequencies will have a shorter wavelength. And I think we'll see that later.
Okay, so that's the wavelength is measured from the peak of one wave to the peak of the next.
To the peak of the next. And you can see a demonstration there.
Yeah, long waves are farther apart. Short waves are closer together.
Right. Once they're generated, electromagnetic or radio waves travel through space directly or can have their path altered by reflection, refraction, diffraction. The intensity of the waves can be diminished because of dispersion, and likewise, some of the energy might also be absorbed by various materials. Noise will also diminish the signal. This is called electromagnetic interference and comes from natural sources as well as artificial ones. If the magnitude of the noise is large enough, the signal won't be copyable anymore. The signal-to-noise ratio is a fundamental limit to the range of radio communications. The weaker your signal gets, the closer it gets to the noise level, the harder it's going to be able to hear.
Yeah, you know, really, signal-to-noise ratio is more important than signal strength.
Yeah.
Because you can get by with less signal if you've got less noise.
If you've got less noise. So if anybody tells you you're down in the mud, your signal-to-noise ratio is
not too good.
Not good.
Yeah. So, yeah. Radio waves. We're going to look at those here in just a little bit, and we're going to bring out the scope for that.
All right. Some scope action.
And some radio action, too.
Awesome.
We'll actually do some radio this time.
Cool.
To make that happen. So let's get this set up here and do some radio wave experimenting. This is a 2,000 hertz audio signal that we're looking at right here. It's a sine wave. That little flickering you see, and that's just because we're not triggering correctly on it. But you can hear the tone there a little bit.
Yeah, I'm surprised your dogs aren't howling out there.
They could be. We can't hear it because we're deaf from listening to the tone. As Tommy mentioned earlier, you know, to check a wavelength, you'd measure from the top of one waveform to the top of the next one right there. And that would be your wavelength.
The wavelength, yep.
On this scope, you can actually put markers on here, or what they call cursors, that you can mark one spot and then slide it over and mark another spot. And you can actually measure the distance between those two, but it gives it to you in time rather than wavelength.
Okay, so then you could calculate it.
You could calculate it out from that.
So you must have knew. I was actually just about to ask you if you could measure the wavelength with this.
That's funny how that happened, isn't it?
It is.
Now, what happens if we increase the frequency of this tone here? Let's go on up a little bit. You can see the higher we go in frequency, the closer these waves are getting together.
Yeah.
That means the wavelength is getting shorter as frequency increases, which is exactly what we learned earlier. As these get higher, we're not actually picking them up on our little test speaker here very well.
My ears are.
Volume. But we can see they just, as frequency goes up, they just keep getting closer and closer together. Here's 20,000 hertz right here.
Wow, I can't even hear it.
Yep. So that's an audio signal right there. See, it's a sine wave. So I tell you what, let's look at some RF now. So I'll unhook the audio oscillator. Well, we'll bring out the handy talkie here. I'll have to reset the scope up so that it's looking at the right thing. I got a little rubber duck attached to it there.
You don't see that every day?
No, you don't. As a matter of fact, I think it's probably the first time I've ever done it.
Oh, yeah?
So let's look at some RF now. We've got the handy talkie here on 2 meters. We'll key up. There's RF we're seeing right there on the screen as I get closer to the antenna.
Yeah, you got to get pretty close for it to pick it up.
So it's just like a solid bar, though. If we start increasing on the horizontal here on the scope, we'll see that it finally turns into waves. Once I get out as far as I can, you can see the waves there. This looks just like audio, doesn't it?
It sure does.
It's just a much higher frequency and a much shorter wavelength. Mm-hmm. All right, that's VHF. Let's go up to UHF and just take a look at it.
Ah.
there's a UHF signal right there. We'll have to increase the gain on the scope to be able to see it. You notice there's a lot more waves here.
Sure,
they're a lot
is.
Closer together.
Yeah, it's a lot weaker.
Yeah. Now, the reason for that, this scope is limited to 100 megahertz, which is a good scope.
Uh-huh.
But we're trying to look at 440 megahertz with it, so it's
that's out of band.
Yeah,
so you're just kind of getting basically it over overloading it.
You're getting a little bit in it.
2 meters actually was the same way.
2 meters is actually
it's out of band as well.
It is, but it can still measure it. And if you notice, when I get real close to it, it goes to clipping.
Yeah,
that's just because we're overloading it. But there you go. So essentially, what we've discovered there is an audio waveform and an RF waveform from this handy talkie look exactly the same.
Yeah, just the wavelength is a little bit different.
The wavelength or frequency is just a little different between the two.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Pretty interesting. Now, we didn't look at modulation. We'll look at that one day. We'll talk about modulation.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an upcoming topic for the history lesson, and then we'll probably have a project that goes along with it, I'm sure.
Yep. Well, let's look at one other thing now. You know, we were talking about wavelengths. We've got a chart here that shows, we start here at the bottom, the 160 meter band, 1.8 megahertz. We're going up through all the HF bands up to the 10 meter band. We pick up with VHF, we got the 6 meter band. 2 meters, 222 megahertz, 440.
Yeah, 440, 70 centimeters.
Yep, the 900 megahertz band, the 1240 megahertz band, or 1.2 gigs.
It doesn't list those in meters, but this kind of gets the point across that their approximate wavelength is in meters, right? So it's approximately 160 meters.
Right.
But it's not exact because it's going to be a fraction of that up and down the...
Right. Yeah, everything can't be... All these frequencies can't be 160 meters, but we're identifying it as approximately 160 meters. Now, this is not all the bands that amateurs have. There's actually a band below 160 meters that we received authorization to use here a few years back. It's experimental. I don't remember the frequency of that right off. But also, up here on the top, you see we've got 1.2 gigahertz band. We've also got privileges at 2.4 gigahertz.
Yeah.
And I believe some privileges above that.
Yeah. Yeah, we've actually got a lot of spectrum. We need to use that stuff so we don't lose it.
Right. You can get this band chart here from the ICOM America website. There's another band plan you can get as well. That's this one right here. It comes from the ARRL. Essentially the same information on it, just laid out a little bit differently here. But you can see that down here in the 160-meter band, only extras, advanced, and general class licensees can use that band. The portion there that's in red, then the plan says that we're going to use that for Ridian data. The portion in green says that we're going to use that for phone and images. Well, it just happens 160 meters, you can do any of that. That's the band plan. That's suggested. It's kind of like a gentleman's agreement that's the modes we're going to operate there. You can see on the 80-meter band, the privileges change a little bit. The extras get a big portion of the 80-meter band there. Mm-hmm. The advanced get almost as much. The generals, maybe half as much.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a good reason there to upgrade to your extra class license.
It is.
If you're a general, just so you can get that extra band right there, because when conditions get really crowded, the general meter or the general portion of the band during a contest here may be completely full. Down there in the extra portion, you've got a little more room spread out.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with some of the other bands here. Some of the bands, extra, advanced, and general, get to use a whole band. But some of the other bands, the extras and the advanced get a little more. Now, you can't get an advanced class license anymore. They quit issuing those some years ago, but there's still people with the advanced license.
Yeah, our buddy Wayne.
Yep. So, you know, that we still have them shown in the band plan here. Now, what is the gentleman's agreement and suggested is that you operate the modes indicated by the colors here.
Mm-hmm.
What is not a gentleman's agreement and is FCC rules is what part of that band you can use depending on your class of license.
Yeah.
And you'll notice that where are the technician class? Where do they begin? Well, actually, if you look here on 15 meters, novices and technicians have a little portion here they can do CW. That's indicated by the jagged line there.
Yeah.
There's no novice licenses issued anymore either.
Well, they also have a small slice up here on 80 meters.
For CW. Mm-hmm. A small slice on 40 meters as well.
Yep.
When you get down here to 10 meters, though, they've got a little space there that they can work RIDI and data. And you see the yellow spot, they can work a little bit of single sideband down there, too. So technicians can get on HF and talk voice in
just
the 10-meter band.
Just enough to get your feet wet.
Just enough to get your feet wet.
Yeah.
On 6 meters here, they've got all of 6 meters.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, all classes of licenses get the whole 6-meter band.
Yeah, so from 50 yep. megahertz on up, I think it's pretty well open to all classes.
All classes have uses of that. So you're in good shape on VHF, UHF, and higher bands. On HF, you've got little areas you can work certain modes there.
These are great resources, so you know if you're going to get your license or have it, print these out and keep it handy.
Because you want to make sure that you're not operating in the wrong place. These band plans and privileges of frequency you can use are not the same all over the world.
Right.
So just because you hear someone talking on a particular HF frequency and it's a ham doesn't mean you can talk to them. There's frequencies they're using in Europe that we can't use here, and vice versa. So you do need a band plan handy so you can check to be sure that, am I licensed to transmit on this frequency?
Right.
Yeah.
And most of your radios are going to be limited to, no.
No, they don't have to be.
Yeah, it's going to be the band that we're allowed in the United States, but not on a class of license.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So,
and
good
information. The radio could have possibly been modified before you got it, so it might possibly transmit on frequencies that aren't legal to
use.
Well,
that's very possible.
Yeah.
Very possible.
Get one of these band charts here. Even if you're not an amateur yet, these would not be too bad to have because there are going to be some questions asking about where your privileges are that you can operate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are quite a few of them, actually.
Yep.
What do you say we take a quick break, stretch our legs after that lecture there, and come back and do some testing?
Ham radio fans, mark your calendars. Come see the latest gear, get hands-on with ICOM's most popular radios, and connect with the team behind the tech. Whether you're a seasoned operator or just getting started, ICOM has something for everyone. Stop by the ICOM booth and experience the innovation that keeps you on the air. See you at Hamvention. Introducing ICOM's IC7760, the pinnacle of base station excellence for amateur radio enthusiasts. Designed to deliver unmatched performance, the IC7760 features state-of-the-art technology, exceptional RF clarity, and an intuitive interface, all housed in a sleek and durable design. The base station features a separate remote control head and RF deck, providing excellent flexibility for installation. Place the RF deck closer to the antenna feed point, freeing up space on your desk. You can also connect the control head to the RF deck through your home network, enabling remote operation from anywhere in your home without need for a PC. Pair the IC7760 with a powerful ICPW2 linear amplifier and take your contesting experience to the next level. The ICPW2 seamlessly integrates with the IC7760, delivering a massive power boost and enabling enhanced long-distance communications with DPD, digital predistortion, and a built-in 2x6 automatic antenna selector for SO2R single-operator 2 radios. Together, they define what's possible in amateur radio, setting a new standard for global connectivity and reliability. For more information about all of ICOM's great amateur radios, visit icomamerica.com/amateur.
And thanks, ICOM, for sponsoring Ham College.
Definitely.
What do you say we give away something?
Let me see what I can find. I got to... Wait.
No, that's already been opened.
But how about this? This is pretty sweet right here. Nice ICOM Ham Crew t-shirt.
Yeah.
You look just as good when you're leaving Hamvention as you did when you got there.
Yep. And it comes in all sizes.
Yep.
So, all you got to do, if you'd like to win that, and it's very simple. Everyone over in the chat room
how
right
simple
now
is it?
Should do it. Everyone who's watching afterwards should do it as well. Well, it's so simple. All you got to do is send an email to hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv.
Well, what should it. I put in it?
You can put nothing at all in it, or you can put a little message in there if you'd like to. No requirements on that, but you do have to have an email address so that you can send the email.
Yeah, but if I do, are you going to send me a bunch of spam when I get done, you get finished?
If you win, I'm going to send you one email that says, congrats, you won.
And that's it?
You will receive one email from ICOM saying, what size do you want and what address do you want it sent to? And that's it.
Hmm.
And we delete the emails. As a matter of fact, I've already deleted the emails that were in the box today because I drew a winner right before the show here.
Well, then, if you didn't draw my name, I'm going to hurry up and send mine in again so I can get in for next month.
Well, that's right, because you can't have that one right there.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But I think you got one like it.
I do.
I do, too. Every smart-dressed ham has one of those coming and going.
Yep.
Get your entry in today. Just send us an email, hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv. We could be reading your name right here, like this month's winner, Marty Santac, W9EAA.
Awesome. Congratulations, Marty.
And I don't know what all this other means, but RV-12 and then M128MS flying. So I guess maybe that's his airplane, remember? N128MS?
Maybe. They usually start with N in the United States.
Yep.
Actually, and I think all of them do.
It's got a tagline on there. It says, fly the airplane, stay safe, and keep the blue side up. That's excellent advice there.
Definitely is.
Well, congratulations, Marty. ICOM will be in touch. And you were this month's Ham College winner of an ICOM swag package.
Congrats.
Well, let's get on into the questions now. I think I answered the first one last time.
Okay.
I'm not going to swear to it, but it seems like I did.
But you know what? I'll go ahead and take one for the team, and I'll answer the first one this time. How about
okay.
that?
Okay. I'm going to give you an easy one, I think. What is the relationship between the electric and magnetic fields of an electromagnetic wave? A. They travel at different speeds.
B. They're in parallel.
C. They revolve in opposite directions.
Or D. They're at right angles. They said you were going to give me an easy one.
It is. It only has one answer.
Well, there's no E, all of the above. What are the relationship between the electric and magnetic fields of an electromagnet? Traveling different speeds? No, I don't think so. I don't think they're not parallel either, I don't believe. I think it's actually going to be D. They don't think they revolve in opposite directions either. I'm pretty sure they're at right angles of one another.
Okay. Sticking with D?
Yeah.
That's what the chat room's saying, the two that answered. So, I'm going to agree with you. And that gives you a majority.
Okay. That doesn't mean much, but...
Yeah.
Guess it does.
And it is.
Okay.
There you go.
What property of a radio wave defines its polarization? A. The orientation of the electric field.
B, the orientation of the magnetic field.
The ratio of the energy in the magnetic field to the energy in the electric field.
Or D, the ratio of the velocity to the wavelength. What property of a radio wave defines its polarization? The orientation of the electric field, or B, the orientation of the magnetic field, C, the ratio of the energy in the magnetic field to energy in the electric field. That's not it. D, the ratio of the velocity to the wavelength. That's not it. So it's either A or B. I'm going to say that it is A. It's the orientation of the electric field.
I would think that's it. I don't know for sure, but I think that's right. What would be my guess anyway?
And it is. Okay. Well, I got another one for you.
Just like that, huh?
That quick.
I haven't even recovered from the last one yet.
You got it right, though. What are the two components of a radio wave? A, impedance and reactance.
B, voltage and current.
C, electric and magnetic fields.
Or D, ionizing and non-ionizing radiation. What are two components of radio wave? Impedance and reactance. Radio wave, not the antenna. Voltage and current. I'm going with C, electric and magnetic fields.
Yeah, I'll agree with you.
I'm just going straight for that. I'm not even going to look at the ionizing thing because I don't even know what that means. Non-ionizing radiation.
Well, there is such a thing, but that's not one of the two components. People are saying C in the chat room as well.
I see. See what I did there?
I saw it.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
What is the velocity of a radio wave traveling through free space? A, the speed of light.
B, the speed of sound.
C, speed inversely proportional to its wavelength.
Or D, speed that increases as the frequency increases.
Most everybody knows that one, I think. I remember this from school, too.
What is the velocity of a radio wave traveling through free space? I'm just going straight for the kill on this one. Because I think everybody else will. It is A.
They already have.
The speed of light.
Yep, I would concur with that, Professor.
That's what they're saying in the chat room. And it is.
What about toll space?
Now, that is through free space.
Yeah. What about this?
Toll space?
Yes, it was in the chat room there.
Oh. We don't know.
What's the toll? Depends on what the toll is.
Yeah.
There you go.
But that's in free space. Now, traveling in space here around Earth is not the same as free space, so it's going to be just slightly off from the speed of light. It's going to be a little bit slower than the speed of light. What is the relationship between wavelength and frequency? A, wavelength gets longer as frequency increases.
B, wavelength gets shorter as frequency increases.
C, wavelength and frequency are unrelated.
Or D, wavelength and frequency increase as the path length increases. It's not D, it's not C. Wavelength gets longer as the frequency increases, so it's not A either. We know it's shorter, it's B, wavelength gets shorter as frequency increases. That's why 2 meters is one and the higher frequency is 70 centimeters. Centimeters is way shorter than a meter.
You can look at the antennas and tell quite easily. It's B, wavelength gets shorter as frequency increases. Yeah, UHF antennas, not nearly as tall as a VHF, and an HF, I can't even reach that high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the formula for converting frequency to approximate wavelength in meters? A, wavelength in meters equals frequency in hertz multiplied by 300.
B, wavelength in meters equals frequency in hertz divided by 300.
C, wavelength in meters equals frequency in megahertz divided by 300.
Or D, wavelength in meters equals 300 divided by frequency in megahertz. What is the formula for converting frequency to approximate wavelength in meters? Will you help me do a little experiment here? Or I can do it.
Sure.
Can you pull up your calculator? I think it is D, but since you can't have a calculator on the test, we're just going to try it out here. 300. And then, let me see, a frequency in megahertz, let's say 3.8 divided by 3.8. 78.9. So you'd say 79 meters. Well, heck, that's almost 80 meters.
It's almost 80 meters.
So I'm going to say that is the right answer to it. So I was thinking D. People in the chat room, a little mixed on that. Let's see. And it is D. So that worked out. I appreciate your help there.
Oh, glad to help.
And that is all the questions. No, that's
half. Was that gone that long?
Yeah, no. No, you aren't. That's half of the questions. Does that sound more reasonable?
Okay, I'll buy that.
I say it is. Yeah, that is half of the questions.
Around the 15th of each month, it's Amateur Radio's original and longest-running video podcast, AmateurLogic.tv. With hosts George Thomas, Tommy Martin, Emil Diodene, and Mike Morneau.
Roughly, here's what I have. The bottom trace here is ground.
While the elements will jiggle some, they're actually not too bad. It's light.
After putting it together, I decided to test everything, so I ran in 12 volts, and I'm measuring the output here.
No, it's not too windy right now, Jim. It was yesterday.
We're in the antenna switching matrix. Any one of our six broadcast transmitters could be connected to any of the 22 antennas.
I personally am so thrilled that George got the special award. Well deserved, my friend. That's really cool.
Yeah, what about the Super Bowl, Emil? Did you go to the Super Bowl, or were you at home operating that night?
Tuning my amplifier, and I lost power in the shack and went outside. The house lost power. The whole neighborhood went out for about 30 minutes. I don't know what happened.
That explains a lot. Now, we can take this and put it over inside our box. It's flush to the bottom. If we were to rotate, we can see that thing goes all the way through, so we'll have a hole in the bottom.
What ammunition do you use in there?
Actually, you can use black powder. You can use WD-40. You can use anything combustible. You just have to use the right quantity, and we assume no responsibility for mishaps.
Here's what it looks like after I've got them all soldered together and heat shrinked up. Okay, let's give it a try and see how it worked out. So there you have it, the hula loop. No, you can't null out the dogs barking.
I have two thin film solar cells to run this. Looks like a little mini weather satellite, actually. And I'm using a guitar string for the antennas.
I particularly like that last one there. $29.99, you can get a 50-foot garden hose extension cord combo.
Do not get cord wet.
Now, most of these J-poles are built with metal elements or tubing. The reason I chose wire for this one is the length of this particular one. So I wanted to hang it from the tree so I can hoist it up there.
Yeah.
Go fishing.
We couldn't find the reel.
Yeah. Is that what that is?
All right, Tommy, sing the theme song here. In addition to frequency, which of the following is used to identify amateur radio bands? A, the approximate wavelength in meters.
B, traditional letter number designators.
C, channel numbers.
Or D, all these choices are correct. First of all, D is not, all these choices are not correct, and we don't do channel numbers. And we don't use traditional letter number designators. We use approximate wavelength in meters.
Yep.
80 meters, 2 meters, 20 meters, 70 centimeters.
Don't make me pull my calculator out.
Hey, we can do it.
Yep. I'll agree with you. Chat room, oh yeah, everybody's saying hey. All right.
All right, here's one for you, Professor. What frequency range is referred to as VHF? A, 30 kilohertz to 300 kilohertz.
B, 30 megahertz to 300 megahertz.
C, 300 kilohertz to 3,000 kilohertz.
Or D, 300 megahertz to 3,000 megahertz. What frequency range is referred to as VHF? Well, I know VHF is in the megahertz range, so we can knock out answers A and C because it's higher than kilohertz.
You got a 50% chance of getting it right then.
All right. B, 30 megahertz to 300 megahertz, or D, 300 megahertz to 3,000. Well, I know that's D is too high.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go back to B, let's see, VHF would start at 30 megahertz, and I know that 6 meters, which is 50 megahertz, is considered VHF. So, yeah, you know, all these things are divided up on threes for whatever reason. So I want to say it's B, 30 megahertz to 300 megahertz. That might seem a little bit broad, but that's what it is. That's what we call VHF.
I would agree with that.
Chat room?
Yeah, it looks like everybody's on the same one.
Okay.
Here. I don't think I gave you one of those yet. So
I didn't really deserve one for that. That was...
Hey, take it when you can get it, man.
Well, okay. I won't argue. What frequency range is referred to as UHF? A, 30 megahertz to 300 kilohertz.
B, 30 to 300 megahertz.
C, 300 to 3,000 kilohertz.
Or D, 300 to 3,000 megahertz. Well, VHF or UHF is a higher frequency than VHF, so it's not going to be A. And it's not going to be B. And kilohertz is still lower than VHF. So it's going to be D, 300 to 3,000 megahertz. I didn't really think about it, UHF being up to 3,000.
Yeah, you know, I didn't either. But it
must be. Apparently it is.
Yeah. I'm going to say that's the best answer there. Everybody in the chat room says it is, too. There you go.
Come on, don't be holding back on me. All right, here's one for you. You got this one. What frequency range is referred to as HF? A, 300 to 3,000 megahertz.
B, 30 to 300 megahertz.
C, 3 to 30 megahertz.
RD, 300 to 3,000 kilohertz. What frequency range is referred to as HF? Well, I know it's not 300 to 3,000 megahertz. That's way up there. That's UHF. B, 30 to 300 megahertz. No, that's VHF. C, 3 to 30 megahertz, or D, 300 to 3,000 kilohertz. Best choice there, you know, all these designations here are using the number 3. I'm going to say it's C. 3 to 30 megahertz.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Chat room. Yeah, they're saying same thing, see? And it is. Right below that would be D, 300 to 3,000 kilohertz. 3,000 kilohertz is 3 megahertz. Mm-hmm. So that's immediately below that. That would be, what band would that be? If it's not HF.
LF?
Mm.
I don't know. What would that be called?
MF.
Oh, medium. Oh, that's right, because that's where it broadcasts.
Yeah.
You're right. That's right. I'm thinking.
Medium frequency. So the 160-meter handband falls in there in the AM broadcast band. And below 300 kilohertz, yeah, that's LF, and that's where you got beacons. Well, I don't think we ever had a broadcast service here in the U.S. on LF, low frequencies. But over in Europe, they did. And I think they've shut them all down if they're not in the process of it right now.
Hmm.
But around here, you'll hear airport beacons and stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Way down there?
Way down there. Below 300 kilohertz.
I might give that a try.
Yeah, try it. You'll pick up several right away. If you got a low noise floor, you'll pick up more. But that's with anything, I guess, huh?
Yep.
What is the approximate velocity of a radio wave in free space?
Ooh.
A, 150,000 meters per second.
B, 300 million meters per second.
C, 300 million miles per hour.
Or D, 150,000 miles per hour. I don't think it's going to be D. Don't think it's going to be C. I think it's more down into seconds. I just want to say it's V, but I don't really know. I don't know the answer how to calculate it. And like I said, I know it's 186,000 miles a second thereabouts for light and radio waves to travel. I don't know how to convert that to meters. So I'm just going to guess B. It's either A or B, so I'm going 50%. B. It seems
B. Okay.
Like the higher number might be it.
I'll agree with that.
Huh. Got what?
B. And that was the last question for tonight.
Really?
Can you believe that?
I was just getting warmed up, too.
I know.
I'm surprised we didn't get a buzzer, because I did see what the questions were. I just didn't read the...
You remember I said there would not be more than one.
We didn't have any, did we?
Didn't have any, yeah.
Huh. Amazing. Of course, a lot of this stuff you know from experience, but still.
Yep.
It's like I said before, it's always good to go back through there for a refresher anyway, because a lot of that stuff I haven't thought one thing about it since I took my test before. I mean, it's not the stuff most people, some people do, I'm sure, but it's not, a lot of that stuff's not things you think about every day.
That's true. So what do you say we change the subject to wardrobe?
Well,
you know, I'm wearing a free t-shirt here. The Music Memorial Radio Station.
Yeah, from New Zealand.
Yep. This came from our friend Kevin Mitchell.
Yeah.
And I don't remember his call sign, but I know it started with ZL.
KFM.
You remember. Something. What was the number?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I think it was a ZL. 3, but I can't swear.
I know the last of it's KFM because I think it must be his Mitchell, his initials.
And you've got on a free shirt, too.
I do. Mine's the Last Man Standing Amateur Radio Club shirt.
Yep. But what if there was somebody out there that couldn't get a
free shirts?
I mean, they could if they would just enter the contest.
I know. First of all, enter the contest. Come on.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
But
if you need a shirt before you win,
you should probably
check out.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, I figured it was. Thought it would help you out a little bit. Check out shop.spreadshirt.com/amateurlogic. that we got Amateur Logic and Ham College shirts on there, even though the store is just slush Amateur Logic. Got cups, caps, backpacks. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. So it anyway, is. Check it out.
Yeah. shop.spreadshirt.com/amateurlogic.
If you wear your Amateur Logic or Ham College swag to Dayton, be sure and go by and find George so he can get a picture of you.
Yep. And you better point it out to me, you know, whatever it is, because sometimes I could miss it, and I wouldn't want to miss it. So, you know, because we're used to seeing the logo here every day. I mean, it's, you know, it's on everything in here. But we'd appreciate it. If you got the colors, wear them.
It's right here.
Yep. It's right there, too. Also, you know, we only have a... I'm not even going to ask.
No, don't.
We only have one Ham College episode per month and one Amateur Logic episode per month. And, you know, the best hams watch both of those. Sometimes you might miss one, but not every time. But if you didn't want to miss one, if you really wanted to keep up and know exactly when an episode was going to be coming up.
Oh, the live streams?
Yeah.
Yeah, you find out pretty easy. Just subscribe to one of these places here on the screen. Facebook.com/groups/HamCollege. There's also an Amateur Logic one.
Yeah, or follow us at Ham College on Twitter or X, or at Amateur Logic.
And we also have Groups.io, groups.io/g/AmateurLogic. That's for the ones that don't really care that much for the social media thing. It's more of a mail list type thing.
Yeah. But we post on there whenever there's going to be a live stream and once a recorded episode has been posted, as well as throughout the month on Facebook there. We've got posts from us or from members of the group. Just talking about different things. It's not going to spam you.
Oh, yeah. No.
If you're a member of Facebook, you might as well go ahead and join the group because you'll find some interesting stuff in there.
That's where all the cool people are.
The majority of them, yes. You're correct about that. I'm glad you brought that point up, too, because not everybody would know that.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. But see, just join the rest of the cool kids. Yep.
And if you'd like to know what we talked about in last month's show and you weren't paying attention at the front of this show, where could you find such information?
Well, we've got this thing called a wiki. You can find it at amateurlogic.tv/wiki. Down near the bottom, there's a link for Amateur Logic show notes and one for Ham College show notes. So whichever show you're interested in, go in there. Do it, or you could do a search for something that you're curious about.
Yeah.
Good chance there's been a show sometime along the lines of it, because we've only had several hundreds of them.
True that, only 20 years worth.
That's
right
all.
About 20.
Soon it'll be 20.
Yep. 20 years of Amateur Logic coming up in October. We need to get started working on that show now. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but something's telling me we're about due for sort of a best of.
Yeah, I think so.
We'll take out
20 years, favorites. That's a monumental accomplishment, in my opinion.
That is.
Not too much stuff's been on YouTube for 20 years.
I don't even think Johnny Carson was on The Tonight Show 20 years.
See, we're better than Johnny Carson.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Well,
and I
Carson
could be wrong,
awesome.
Too.
He
was pretty awesome. You know, that's what we model this show after.
Yeah, yeah. You should be able to tell that.
You need to give me an AO right here. Is it? Anyway, I hope to see some of you at Dayton Hamvention coming up. That is May 16th. 16th, 17th.
And 18th.
Yes. So there won't be an Amateur Logic that week. Normally it would be. So the next Amateur Logic will be May the 23rd. Any final thoughts before we get out of here tonight, Dean?
No, it's fun. It's I really thought we'd get some buzzer action tonight, though. I'm kind of surprised we didn't.
Yeah.
But other than that, no, I'm good.
I think a lot of you watch this show are probably already hams, but we're studying for the technician exam license right now. So tell your friends, family, or whoever you think might want to be a ham. Check out these episodes of Ham College. We've had a lot of graduates over the years. And that's why we do it, you know. We want to make more hams. And plus, we have a little fun doing this as well.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little side benefit of helping the hobby grow.
It is. And, you know, if you get a chance to be an Elmer, and I'm talking to you hams out there, help somebody else along, you know, get in the hobby, answer questions for them. If they're new hams, welcome them on in and help them get started, because somebody probably helped you when you got started as well.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And that's how we keep it going. 7-3, everyone. Thanks for being here.
Yep, 7-3, everybody. We'll see you at the next Amateur Logic. Probably.
Yep. May the 23rd.
7-3.
Dayton Hamvention's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Before we go much farther, you realize that fan's in the shot?
Well, it's a hot show tonight. No, I didn't realize it. It's just keeping the cold tube.
Tube cool.